ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يعلمون ظاهرا من الحياة الدنيا وهم عن الآخرة هم غافلون. صلوات. Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for the ruh, for the soul of the grandmother of Brother Sajjad. The subject of my speech tonight, as it was asked by some, is the existence of the haqa'iq of Qiyamah, existence of the realities of the Day of Judgment today, right now. We in Islam believe that this dunya and the life of this dunya is the zahir, and for every zahir there is a batin and hidden reality, and the batin of this zahir, the batin of this dunya, the hidden reality of the life of this world is nothing but akhirat. Ya'lamuna zahiran min al-hayati dunya, they know the apparent from the life of dunya. In other words, وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ, and they are غَافِل about akhirat. That's what we learn in the light of this verse from Surah Ar-Rum, verse number 7. And according to my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah in his tafsir, that the word ghaflat in Arabic can only be used for a mawjood, not for a ma'doom. You can't use the word ghaflat for something which is ma'doom and non-existent. The word ghaflat is used for something which exists and you don't pay attention towards it. That's where we use the word ghaflat. So you were ghafil, means there was something present, but you didn't pay attention, so you were ghafil and ignoring it. And I have six evidences that I have mentioned here for the fact that the realities of the day of judgment, the heaven and the hell exist right now, and all those humans in this earth are either Ahlul Jannah, either the ones who belong to paradise, or Ahlul Nar, or the ones who belong to the Nar and hellfire, except those few who are related to the A'raf, which are very rare. So the first evidence for this fact is the verse from Holy Quran, which is related to the same point which I just mentioned, from Surah Qaf, verse 22, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the ghaflat and lack of attention of the mujrimeen and criminals. The mujrimeen and criminals will be brought on the day of judgment in the presence of the Mahkamatul Adl, the divine court of justice, and they will be informed about their ghaflat. That means they didn't used to pay attention to an existing reality, and they will be then witnessing those realities. لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غَطَاءَكَ. Suddenly you were ghafil, you were in ghaflat about this. فَكَشَفْنَا, so we removed عَنْكَ غَطَاءَكَ, we removed away from you your curtain, your hijab. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ, so your eyes became sharp today. So we find on the day of judgment, even the kuffar and munafiqeen and the criminals will be able to see the realities, which is they were supposed to see back then in the life of dunya, but they failed to pay attention and they were ghafil. And when the curtain will be removed, they will then pay attention, and when they would pay attention, they would say, Ya waylana, قَدْ كُنَّ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. You know, so why bar ma? Ke ma azin ghafil budin. Yani, why ho hum par ke hum iske baare mein ghafil the? Ya waylana, قَدْ كُنَّ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا. So they themselves will confess their ghaflat and the fact that they didn't used to pay attention to the reality. Realities of the Day of Judgment back then in the life of dunya. Adam al-iltifat and Adam al-tawajjuh towards the mawjood, towards the reality which existed. So, this is the first evidence that we have from the Holy Quran. The benefit why we are discussing this whole discussion. The benefit of this whole discussion is that when we as the believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala realize that the haqa'iq and realities of Day of Judgment exist right now, not that Allah is going to create the heaven and create the hell tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. In fact, these realities exist right now. If we realize their existence today, our lives would change. Our lifestyles would change drastically and totally. The reason why some people, their lifestyles are stagnant and not changing is because they don't realize the realities of the Day of Judgment being existing right now. Just like, you know, if my hand is in the fire, if your finger is in the fire, you won't take a minute to take it out. It won't be a fraction of a second that you would rush to take your finger out. Isn't that right? That's the benefit of our discussion tonight. We won't take a minute. We'll take a fraction of the second to take a step forward and change our life, our policy, our mawqif, our stance, our behavior. So the reason why some people are doing the harams in their lives, but there's no change, is because they don't see the haqqaiq and realities. So let's move forward to the same realities that the Quran talks about. One of those realities when it discusses the eating up the money of orphans in out of ghulm, you know, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. those people who consume the money of orphans out of zulm, they are consuming fire. But we don't see them consuming fire. They themselves don't see themselves consuming the fire. If they had seen this loaf of bread usurped from the money of an orphan out of zulm, if they have seen this loaf of bread in the form of a fire, they would never consume the loaf of bread. Isn't that right? It takes insanity for a person to consume fire. You have to be a majnoon to consume fire. Isn't that right? No aqil and sane person would dare take a step to consume fire. So, but people day in and day out are doing various types of harams, which Islam says the asarun takmini, the inbuilt impact of those harams is nothing but the hellfire. So we get burned straight away by the flames of the fire as soon as we do the harams. But again, we don't realize getting burnt. That's a different story. That's our ignorance that we don't realize. That's our jahl that we don't realize that our souls get burnt straight away from those various types of harams. Not that it will be burned in the grave or on the day of judgment, no. That's not the only place where we will face. Right now it gets burnt because the realities of the day of judgment are existing right now. Let's move to the evidence number two, which is from the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kalla law ta'lamuna ilm al-yaqeen la tarawunna al-jaheem. So if you knew with the knowledge of yaqeen, ilm al-yaqeen, if you had the knowledge of yaqeen, ilm al-yaqeen, that stage of yaqeen which is called ilm al-yaqeen, la tarawunna, certainly you would have seen the jaheem. لَتَرَوُنَّ, there's a noonun mushaddada for taqeed, and there's a lam on top of the verb for another taqeed, which is an extra emphasis. You would certainly see the heaven, the hellfire, jaheem. So we understand the reason why, again, we don't see the flames of the fire, because we are not ahlul yaqeen. So again, let's remember the whole point that these verses of Holy Quran, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَهِينَ, they're not talking about the Day of Judgment. It's not a big deal for the Day of Judgment. Everybody is going to see the hellfire. There's an exception. So everybody is going to see the hellfire. It's not a big deal. The point which Allah is making is about the ilmul yaqeen thing, that if we had the ilmul yaqeen, that means we can see it right now in the life of this dunya. If we have yaqeen, we can see it. So this ayat of Holy Quran is sarih and clear about the mushahada and witnessing the hell right now by ahlul yaqeen. Not just that, but our ahlul ma'rifa, ahlul ma'na, and urafa, those who are ahlul qurb, they not just see the heaven and the hell, but they also see the people who belong to the heaven and hell burning in the hell are benefiting from the blessings, mutana'imeen, among in the ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now in the paradise. And those of the people who do the tawbah, they see them literally coming out of the hellfire, and the signs of their soul being burnt moments ago in the hell, coming out of their souls. When what happens if something gets burnt? You see the signs of the soul of the thing getting burnt, isn't that right? So the signs of the burning are witnessed by these urafa. When a person performs the tawbah, he literally transfers from the haram to the rahmat and maghfirat of Allah. So they see them coming out of the hell, getting transferred to the heaven, and they see the signs of him being burnt visible on him, which again, this is part of the batin and hidden information which is hidden from the from those who have the hijabat, so we are unable to see that. The third evidence is the story of Harasa, the authentic, the mu'tabar hadith of Harasa ibn Malik in Kafi. This young man who, in the time of Rasulullah, when he found a bunch of people gathered around this young man, and when Prophet was curious what's going on, you know, why the people are gathered around this guy. I mean, what's the matter? So he was told that, Ya Rasulullah, he was told that this guy is Ahlul Yaqeen. He claims that he is Ahlul Yaqeen. It is a big news. If you can discover in the Islamic society somebody who's Ahlul Yaqeen, that's a huge breaking story, because you don't find Ahlul Yaqeen, people who have Yaqeen, that often in our everyday lives. We don't encounter those precious personalities every now and then. So Prophet asked the guy about the alamat and sign. That means, what was the sign of his Yaqeen? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, that I can see the heaven and the hell and the people of the belonging to hell right now burning inside the hell, and I can see those who belong to the heaven right now benefiting from the blessings in the heaven right now. So when Prophet heard that response, Prophet said that Abdun Nawwarallahu Qalbahu. He is a servant whose soul has been made munawwar, illuminated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So somebody who has a flash of divine light on his qalb will of course be Ahlul Yaqeen. That's what we learn in the light of this statement. And then Prophet said to him, gave him a bit of advice, that Alzim ma anta alayh, maintain this situation for yourself. And then he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Prophet, that please pray for me that maybe I become shaheed, you know, for the sake of fisabilillah and the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Prophet prayed and he became shaheed in the upcoming next battle that was fought in the time of Rasulullah from the kuffar against Muslims. So that incident is another evidence for us. And the fourth evidence for the fact of the heaven and the hell and the realities of the Day of Judgment exists right now is about the Hadith al-Mi'raj. Hadith al-Mi'raj is one of those most interesting hadiths that we have in our control, alhamdulillah. And the narrator, the beauty of the Hadith al-Mi'raj is that the narrator of the hadith is Rasulullah himself. And he himself is talking about the incident, because there was nobody else to talk about what happened when there was only Prophet and God and nobody else. So there was no one to talk about that in the Hadith al-Mi'raj. So in the Hadith al-Mi'raj, we find abundant incidents mentioned about the fact that the Prophet had seen the paradise, and he was not just that, he was shown the details of the paradise and the details of the hellfire and all those things, and why people have been subjected with what sorts of punishments, every various types of sins that we see, you know, different things were shown to the Holy Prophet. And he witnessed all those realities. Bunch of people sitting in front of them. There is tayyib and tahir and clean food in front of them. But Prophet saw them eating garbage. They had tayyib and tahir food in front of them, but they were eating trash. And the Prophet was told, these are those people of your ummah who had the opportunity, they had the access to eat halal, but they voluntarily opted for going to eat haram. So again, the batin of the haram food was shown to the Prophet, which is nothing but garbage. That's the batin, and the batin is the reality. The zahir is not the, that's the apparent face. So, just for the sake of example, a whole bunch of sins in their athar and aftermaths were shown to the Holy Prophet. In some of the ahadiths, we find it is said that, مَا أُولَٰئِكَ مِنَّا وَلَا نَحْنُ مِنْهُمْ. Anyone who denies the current existence of the heaven and the hell is not amongst us, nor we are amongst them. So basically, it is undeniable. The fifth evidence for the fact is about the concept of barzakh itself. We believe as a person passes away, we are commemorating this majlis and this occasion for the Fatiha, for the tarheem of a beloved person. So it is very relevant for us to remember that, of course, our belief is that our souls are transferred to the Alam al-Barzakh. And Barzakh in Arabic means a stage between the two stages, between any two stages. Any stage between which is between any two other stages is called Barzakh literally. So when we call the stage when the soul is being transferred from this world to the Alam al-Malakut, we call it Barzakh. We also call it Alam al-Barzakh. So Barzakh is a kind of a bridge which serves as a middle stage between two different stages and two different things. So one stage is the life of this world. The other side of Barzakh is the haqa'iq of the Day of Judgment. So if those reality of the Day of Judgment do not exist, then it doesn't make any sense that this stage of Barzakh serves as a bridge between two stages. So there has to be the other part of the bridge existing for the bridge to survive. Otherwise, it can't be called Barzakh, neither literally nor technically according to the istilah and terminology of Ilmul Kalam. So Barzakh is a bridge connecting this world with the hereafter, with the Ma'ad, with Qiyamah, with the Day of Judgment and its realities. And Quran has clearly announced in Surah Al-Imran, verse 133, وَصَارِعُوا, Quran says, وَصَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And make haste, surat, speed up, wasari'u, make haste, speed up towards the maghfirat of your Lord, towards the forgiveness from your Lord, and jannat, and paradise, whose span is the paradise which is spanning over the heavens, samawat, the heavens, wal ard, and the earth, u'iddat lilmuttaqeen, which has already been prepared for the muttaqeen. So it's already prepared, it's there for the muttaqeen. We need to speed up towards the maghfirat of our Lord. And also in the other verse of Holy Quran from Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 24, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ. Keep away from the fire whose firewood is people and the stone. So, that's another very interesting subject that sometime, inshallah, we can discuss about the hellfire, what is the reality of hellfire and how it all lit up, who lit up the hellfire, how, because whenever you start a fire, logically speaking, you require two basic things. You require an igniting spark and you require a firewood. Nothing can happen without these two things, isn't that right? If there's no igniting spark, how can you ignite the fire? And second of all, you need some firewood. So the igniting spark can strike the firewood and it can burn it up and everything lights up. So who is the igniting spark? Who in the world served as the igniting spark for the hellfire? How did it all start? So an extremely interesting discussion of Ilmul Kalam and who serves as the firewood of the hellfire. Maybe some other time, inshallah. But it's very interesting to learn that this hellfire, which has already been ignited because the waqood already took place and it's constantly on the supply, it's constantly been supplied to the hell, it doesn't stop, incessant supply, and also the spark which had already happened. So when the spark happened and this constant supply of firewood is taking place, of course the hellfire came into existence, isn't it right? And will continue to exist as long as the supply is there. The humans and the stone. So this again, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, which had been prepared for the kafirin. So anybody who enters the hellfire is actually kafir. You may say, well, they are munafiqeen also who enter the hellfire, who are at the bottom of the hell. True, they are munafiqeen at the bottom. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرَكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. But let's remember that the batin of nifaq is nothing but kufr. Their zahir and apparent face is iman and Islam, but the batin of the nifaq and hypocrisy is nothing but kufr. So it holds to be true that hellfire is a place of kufar. Sixth and the last evidence before I'm coming close to the end of my speech, we find in the seerat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, like it is narrated about Imam Sajjad alayhi salam and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that it's narrated about these two imams that when they used to recite in the tilawat of Surah Al-Hamd, they used to repeat this verse of Holy Quran, Maliki Yawmiddin, Maliki Yawmiddin, Maliki Yawmiddin. They used to constantly repeat this verse of Holy Quran in Surah Al-Fatiha, Maliki Yawmiddin. And sometimes Imam Sadiq alayhi salam or Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, it is narrated, he used to become unconscious out of repetition of this verse, and the khawf, after repetition of this verse, the khawf and fear of Allah used to make Imam Sajjad alayhi salam unconscious. And when sometimes he again became conscious, actually there was an incident taking place that the next room, the room next to the room of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, caught fire. Imam Sajjad was the resident of Medina. That was his hometown. The next door, next room of his room, the room which is next to him, caught fire. And Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was praying, busy in his prayers. Some people rushed to inform him that the house has caught fire. And so he was praying, and after he was done with the prayers, they told him, and you didn't even pay attention to the fire, it was burning next door. And Imam alayhi salam remarked that Al-Hatni anha an-narul kubra, the bigger fire engaged me away from this one. So what do we mean? We understand that because he was busy in extinguishing the bigger fire, which is the hell fire. So when we pray and we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are extinguishing the hell fire. So when you are focusing on Allah, you can't focus on anything else other than that. So these are the six basic evidences. And at the end, it is very important to remember that the Day of Judgment is the day where in this world, brothers and sisters, whenever we want to perform something, we either do it with the asbab, or we either do our things because of the zawabit, zabita, the rules, or we do it because of our connections. You are well connected, you have links, alaqat, rawabit, either through dawabit or through rawabit. These are only things how we conduct our business in this, the life of this world. So dawabit and dabita means there's a rule, there's a cause and effect. You do the cause, you are hungry, you go for water, you grab the bottle of water in your drink and you quench your thirst. Isn't that right? That's the dawabit. This is the rules. Every effect requires a cause. In order to quench your thirst, you require a cause which is water. You need to drink water to quench your thirst. So you take care of your business by going for some causes, and through the causes you achieve the effects. Or through the rawabit, alaqat, links, connections. That's where we require links and connections to execute our business. Whereas the Day of Judgment is a day where none of those two are going to work, because Quran has said, تَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ. As far as the zawabit thing goes, the rules of the cause and effect thing, the things are done with the cause and the effect, that is going to shatter. تَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ. And now as far as the links are concerned, connections and links, you know, when the sur of Israfil is, the trumpet is blown, فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ, and there will be no ansab among them. The only hasab and nasab that would survive on the Day of Judgment is the hasab and nasab of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam. And of course we have the concept of shafa'at and intercession, but that too requires from us to do something for Ahlul Bayt and their walayat of Ahlul Bayt. It's not just, you know, we totally ignore and do nothing for them, and we keep the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam suffering, but then we expect them to do our shafa'at. We do nothing, no service for the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, but we expect their shafa'at. It's not going to happen. We leave the Ahlul Bayt alone, like Imam Hussain alayhi salam was left alone in Ashura. Isn't that right? And Prophet had already said, you know, that arba'atun ana ash-shafi'u lahum yawm al-qiyamah walau atawni bi dhunubi ahli al-ard. Four people, I am their shafi', intercessor. You know, even though they came to me by bringing all the sins of all the people of the planet Earth combined together, but still I'm going to do their shafa'at. If they had four, for four people, Prophet has given a blank check for shafa'at. And the first of those was Mu'inu Ahli Bayti. We don't have much time remaining to elaborate. In other words, which I'm paraphrasing this narration in my own words. So, i'anat and help of Ahlul Bayt and the behavior of Ummat is that Imam Hussain is standing alone on Ashura and raising his voice, Hal min Nasirin Yansuruna. Is there somebody who can help us? Hal min Mughithin Yughithuna. Is there somebody who can rescue us? Hal min Zabbin Yadubbu an Haram Rasulullah. Is there someone who can defend the Haram of Rasulullah? But nobody responded. The Imam Hussain was left alone. And likewise, Hazrat Zainab was also left alone. After the Ashura, after the Shahadat, after the Shahadats that took place, we find on the 11th of Muharram, when Hazrat Zainab is the one who is helping everybody to ride different animals, you know, and now that the caravan is moving from Karbala towards Kufa, we find everybody was helped by Hazrat Zainab. But when her own turn arrives, she's standing alone. And there's nobody to help her to ride the camel. She looks at the highness of the camel back and looks at the weakness of herself. How can she ride the back of the camel? And the narration says, she didn't turn towards Aun and Muhammad, her two shaheed sons. She did not turn towards Qasim ibn al-Hasan. She did not turn towards Ali ibn al-Akbar. She did not even turn towards Imam Hussein. The narration says, she turned towards Abul Fadl Abbas. Remember, Abul Fadl Abbas was the one who helped Hazrat Zainab in that specific way, along with others, when she was leaving her hometown of Medina. She turned towards Abul Fadl Abbas. You know, but of course, Abul Fadl Abbas is already shaheed. How can he come to help when Abul Fadl Abbas, the Shahadat news of Abul Fadl Abbas was arrived Hazrat Zainab. We find Imam Hussain, when he came back without Abul Fadl Abbas, and then Hazrat Zainab, that was the time Hazrat Zainab, you know, she said that my father used to kiss my hands. And
He used to, of course, Amir Mumin Islam used to kiss the hands of Hazrat Zainab, that the ropes will be tied on your hands. And Hazrat Zainab realized that now the time has arrived. After Shahadat of Abul Fadl Abbas, now the time has arrived that the ropes will be tied into her hands. As long as her brother Abbas is alive, who can tie up the ropes into her hands? And this is the way the Ummah had left Hazrat Zainab alone.
أنا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for the grandmother of Brother Sajjad.